Well, breaking news, the Zeem machine is headed north. Lenny, tell us where you're at. It looks like you're returning to the homeland.
We are excited. Yeah, we're staying tonight. We left, well, we've had 2 days of driving, and it's kind of good to get out of Florida. It's really hot, but a lot of rain, and we had a lot of rain on the way here, but we're staying the night in Indianapolis, and tomorrow we will be back in Chi-Town area. So it's great to be back headed to the Chicago area. We left Florida. We were looking forward to seeing everybody, and of course, Golfers on Golf radio show, doing it live for me, which is a treat, on Saturday afternoon. And then the Illinois Women's Open and the tournament season is on. It's kind of like a return to normalcy, and we're really looking forward to it.
Well, it'll be good to have you back up here. We're looking forward to having you join us for Golfers on Golf Radio Saturday afternoon. Turn and Burn. Club Choice Ireland is checking in live from Ireland, our first international guest, and I'm glad you'll be here to be a part of that. Also, Claire Peterson, the championship director of the John Deere Classic, will be on with us as well. So we should have a wonderful show on Saturday afternoon. Len, the big news of the day is the Rocket Mortgage Classic is underway up there in Detroit. And you know what? One of the stories this week is the fact that in the last 24 hours, there's been breaking news, Bryson DeChambeau. And no, it's not even about his feud, so to speak, with Brooks Koepka. It's the fact that he and his caddy have parted ways. And his caddy, Tim Tucker, was on his bag for all of his wins. All eight of them, including the John Deere Classic, including the U.S. Open, including Memorial, all of these victories, and they have parted ways after Tucker actually caddied during a practice round on Tuesday, after the Pro-Am on Wednesday, and somewhere between the end of the Pro-Am and the start of play today, they split up. So on DeChambeau's bag is Cobra Equipment representative Ben Showman, and the only caddy experience that Showman has was to caddy for former Golf Channel personality Holly Saunders at the American Express Pro-Am. So this ought to be an interesting situation. And don't forget, DeChambeau is the defending champion at the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Hey, you wonder if they're serious. They're taking this stuff. This caddy business is getting crazy. After DeChambeau made his announcement, Koepka wanted to want him up, and he declared it Caddy Appreciation Day in honor of the guy who's carrying his bag. So I think they're still having fun with this whole shebango, but it is an odd time for DeChambeau to drop his caddy. I mean, this close to any tournament, even though this one isn't exactly the biggest tournament there is, but he is the defending champion, and he said that they've had a successful teamwork there. So he'd like to know the behind the scenes of that a little bit. I know I sure would.
There is some reports that Tucker actually quit, but yet both of them are great friends. They're all wishing each other the best. Nobody has a bad word to say about anybody. So we'll have to see how that all shakes out. And of course, then DeChambeau, who, to my understanding, is not in the field at the John Deere Classic, where he is a previous champion, will be getting ready to head overseas and get ready for the Open Championship and could be starting with somebody new on the bag. You know what? I know that you and I have both talked to a lot of the caddies over the years, and it always seems like when they get a new player, there is a little bit of an adjustment period, and it seems like Bryson DeChambeau will have to do that as he gets ready to head into the final major of the year.
Funny time for an adjustment period, but, you know, he would probably, in this case, he probably would be having the adjustment anyway, just going overseas to play. It wouldn't be unusual for a player going overseas to want to have a caddy from there. You know, I'm sure we won't see him at the John Deere Classic. I was hoping we might see a return of Jordan Spieth this year, but it doesn't appear that's the case. But, you know, the it's a whole different game across the pond, and I think it's a smart move over there, really, for a caddy take a break, give his own caddy a time off, and use a caddy from over there just to shake up things a little bit. It's a kind of an odd week. The British Open is always an odd week for an American player, I think.
Len, you mentioned Jordan Spieth, and I had an opportunity to be part of a Jordan Spieth press briefing this week, and it was for the BMW Championship. Of course, the BMW will not be in town this year. It'll be on the road out at Caves Valley Golf Club in Owings Mill, Maryland. And that club has really gotten behind this event, a whole bunch of exciting things. And the people there are telling us that they're way ahead on ticket sales. They're way ahead on hospitality by as much as 40% in some areas at this time of where the WGA and BMW were heading into Medina in 2019, the last time that there was a full fleet of fans out at the championship. But Jordan Spieth, his sponsor, one of his big three, along with AT&T and Titleist, is Under Armour, and Under Armour's corporate office just a couple of miles away from the Caves Valley Golf Club. So Jordan has actually been out to the golf course several times, but just playing in a fun atmosphere. No tournament situation for him there. And so he said he knows the golf course will play different, but had a lot of interesting things to say just about golf in general, how important actually caddies are, the great relationship that he has with his caddy. But anyway, he's really looking forward to the BMW Championship. And Caves Valley is a club that is really getting behind this event, really getting behind the Western Golf Association. And I suppose probably one of the biggest news stories of the day was also the fact that Caves Valley Golf Club and their foundation donated over $2.1 million to the Western Golf Association to buy a building and get it converted to the new Evans Scholars House on the University of Maryland campus, or close to it.
Yeah, you know, it's been a Chicago's loss, but certainly the Evans Scholars gain with the policy of moving the moving the BMW Championship around. I mean, a tournament of that stature would be a big hit, you know, at clubs all around the country, and it's proving that. Keeping it just in Chicago would always be nice for us, but, you know, the idea of that tournament is to raise money for caddy scholarships, and they raise a lot more by rotating the site around. I think the key for us now is to find out just when the tournament will return to Chicago, because it's going to be away next year as well. I think that the last really tournament in Chicago was a great one, though, at Olympia Fields. So I'm hoping maybe Olympia gets another chance in maybe 3 years, the next time the tournament is available to be without a site determined.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out again next year, and what, again, is the final year of a BMW Championship contract with the tournament. The WGA and BMW headed to Wilmington Country Club, the home club of the current president of the United States. It's Joe Biden's club. So that ought to make for an interesting week. Who knows if POTUS himself will drop by, but if he does, it'll be interesting for the PGA Tour and all the players to have a sitting president at the championship. But he is a member of the club. And speaking of members of the club, it was really nice this week to also see the gentleman who stood up and made the opening remarks at Monday's media day. It was none other than baseball legend Cal Ripken, who is a member at Caves Valley, stood up and talked a little bit about golf, the club, what he learns from pro players, having been in the pro sports arena for a long time. And I found it pretty interesting to talk to him about golf and baseball afterwards. But it was nice to see somebody of his stature step up to tee off this year's BMW Championship at Caves Valley.
Yeah, you know, I've seen other tournaments, their pre-tournament stuff with athletes from other sports. It's a good idea. It shows the broad base of interest in golf. Now, Cal Ripken, I don't know how well he plays. I don't remember ever noting that he was an active guy. A lot of these guys have tried to play Corn Ferry Tour events and celebrity events like that. I don't know that Cal Ripken's name has ever come up much along that line. But if he's a member of Caves Valley, I'm sure he can play a bit. And so it was good that they had him there. I think that's a good policy for the tour to do whenever possible.
Well, the BMW championship, when it was out in Colorado a few years back, the member of the club who stepped up to make phone calls was not only the one and only Peyton Manning, who actually reached out on behalf of the championship, made phone calls to company presidents and CEOs that had been, shall we say, slow to buy in on some of the hospitality that year. And you know, can you imagine if you're the owner or you're the president or you're the CEO of a big corporation in a city and you enjoy sports and all of a sudden your football team's a Hall of Fame quarterback or, you know, a guy that you know is going to get in on the first vote, your secretary or your administrative assistant tells you, hey, guess who's on the line? He wants to talk to you and wants to see if we're going to buy a hospitality chalet at the upcoming BMW championship.
Yeah, world's the oyster for these very top-level players. I remember the first time I remember players from other sports really brought into a picture promoting a golf tournament was in St. Louis. Most of the St. Louis sports team guys, they had football players and baseball players. They all came to the media day with something to say, including the coaches. They had a big turnout, and I thought, boy, that's a surprise. They don't have a player, but they have baseball and football players. They don't have golfers. But it was a refreshing change of pace, and I know Steph Curry, for instance, a basketball player, he's gotten very much involved in golf. John Smoltz, a former pitcher, he's been nibbling at giving the senior tour a try. So mixing sports can be done, and I think it's intrigued a lot of good athletes, and I'm sure they can do it.
The PGA of America has been really good at doing that at their PGA championships. When I was up for the PGA championship media day in 2015, we saw some of the Packers and the Bucks and the Brewers all up at Whistling Straits to help welcome that event, the 100th anniversary of the PGA championship down at Belle Reve. It was funny because who walked in but Dexter Fowler, and he was there with his Cardinals jersey on and there to present Justin Thomas, who had won the previous year in Charlotte at Quail Hollow with a Cardinals jersey. But it appeared from what I saw from a little bit of a distance that Dexter Fowler might have been wearing that Chicago Cubs World Championship ring. But anyway, the athletes were there. Alex Pietrangelo was there from the St. Louis Blues, and they had some people there to welcome PGA Championship and the 100th anniversary to St. Louis. And, you know, that's one thing we haven't really seen here in Chicago at Media Day. We haven't seen the Chicago sports celebrities get out and start things off at Media Day. And, you know, there are celebrities, sports celebrities in this town that play golf. Patrick Kane has become a big golfer in the last couple of years. Jonathan Toews also has been a golfer even before Patrick Kane. There's Ian Happ is one of the Cubs. And, of course, if you go back a couple of years, some of the Cubs pitchers like John Lester are also big golfers. And, you know, you mentioned John Schmoltz, but, you know, if anybody who remembers the Atlanta Braves teams, Greg Maddux, John Schmoltz, Tom Glavine, those guys, if the Braves had an off day and they were headed somewhere where there was great golf, they got it into their contract to be able to stop and play golf the day before. And they went out on a private plane, I believe, and when the Braves were going to play the San Francisco Giants, and they'd all go to Pebble Beach the day before the series would start. So, yeah, other athletes do enjoy the game, and it's a good break for them once in a while, and it's nice when they cross over and sort of step up to promote big-time golf in a specific city or on the PGA Tour or any of the major national championships.
Well, of course, nobody did that better than Michael Jordan back in the day. I mean, he was as much a golf story as a basketball story at times, I think. He was, he was such a fanatical player, and now he's got his own course off in Florida that I understand is quite good and a very special place. So he hasn't, even though he's moved on from Chicago and involved in basketball in Charlotte. He's certainly still a very active, avid golfer, and I don't know if any athlete from other sports has quite reached the level that MJ has.
The tournaments are starting to heat up here in the Chicago area. As a matter of fact, the Chicago District Golf Association today releasing the field for the state amateur, and I believe I saw 131 players maybe in the field. Jordan Less and Charlie Nikitas are a couple of players that really are heading up the field, so to speak. I believe we have a couple of players that have been part of the University of Illinois golf team are also in the field as well. So there'll be some good competition back over at Mistwood in a few weeks for the state amateur. But even before the state amateur gets to Mistwood, coming up this next week is on Tuesday and Wednesday, Phil Kozin, Illinois Women's Open. And it'll be interesting to see how big that field is and how many players are there and who is there. And hopefully we will learn more about the Illinois Women's Open shortly. But Mistwood going to be very busy the next couple of weeks with a couple of great tournaments.
Yeah, you know, this Illinois Women's Open, it couldn't be held last year because of the pandemic concerns. But this one is also going to be marked by a couple other things. It'll be the first tournament in many, many years. And since Jim McWethy passed on, he was always a fixture. The guy who owned Mistwood and was such a big supporter of the Illinois Women's Open, he's passed on, so he won't be present to have his picture taken with the champion standing on the bridge by near the clubhouse there. That was always a tradition that I thought was really a nice thing. And of course, on the other hand, the founder of the tournament, the late Phil Kozin, he is now being an inductee into the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. A well-deserved honor for Phil, even though he won't be around. It'll be in absentia for him, but the ceremonies for him will be on October 1st. So it's a kind of an interesting year for the Illinois Women's Open. My hope is that Nicole Jarre, who's a story every year she plays now, she's 50 years old and playing against girls half her age, but still can compete with them. She wants to win that tournament a third time to match the record of Kerry Postillion. So, and last time the tournament was held, she was second. So I'm looking for a big tournament from her, and it's an event I always like to cover every year. It's just such a different kind of a refreshing event, and Mistwood, I give them a lot of credit for taking on two big tournaments like that in such a short span.
Well, Len, you mentioned Nicole Jarre, the teaching pro at Mistwood, and she has a very important round of golf the week after next week's Illinois Women's Open. Mm-hmm. She will be trying to qualify for the U.S. Senior Women's Open down at Midlothian. So we wish Nicole all the best the next couple of weeks, because she really has some tournament golf to get back into. And last year, she tells me every single event she was supposed to play in was canceled due to COVID. And so she is really looking forward to some tournament time and some competitive rounds of golf. Len, you and I have talked about some of the things going on in the various markets in terms of course and clubhouse improvements. And I've got a confirmation now from the folks at Northbrook that it appears that Heritage Oaks, the former Sportsman's, will be opening in August, perhaps early August. There was initially some hope that the end of July was possible, but now we're being told it might be the first or second week of August when they reopen from their renovation and will also open their brand new clubhouse.
Yeah, that's something I'm really looking forward to seeing now that we're back in Chicago. When I have a look at that place, they were just beginning the dismantling process. So it's I know things are going to look really different there. That's going to be, when it's done, it's going to be a great new addition to golf in the north suburbs. It was an old public course that had a lot of regular play, but a lot of people learned how to play golf going over there. But it was time for an overhaul, and I'm really glad that they're going and jumping at it with both feet, because I'm sure it's going to be a great addition to the Chicago golf scene.
Well, another great addition to the Chicago golf scene will be the brand new clubhouse at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. And they have started as of today and tomorrow and Saturday. They are doing interviews for staff in the clubhouse, the waitresses, the bartenders, the chefs, the food runners, the greeters, everybody that will be a part of the food and beverage operation. Interviews are underway as of today, July 1, 2, and 3. So if you're looking for a job and you want really a great place to work, and it's a fantastic facility, I think the people that work there will really enjoy it. And, you know, based on the dining experience there, it's not just going to be golfers there. I think people who live in the area might look at that and say, you know what? We didn't need to play golf today, or we may not even be a golfer at all, but we're going to go over there and have lunch or dinner.
Yeah, you know, that this is kind of the crowning touch for that whole massive rebirth of what was once Elmhurst Country Club long, long time ago. Once a place where Ben Hogan won a tournament, place that had all kinds of flooding problems for years and years. And look at it now. I mean, this is really a credit to the people from the DuPage period there that they have really stepped up and revived this whole facility. And now it's going to be one of the very best public golf facilities in the whole Chicago area.
Well, Len, a couple of news notes here before we call it a week. First off, the Western Golf Association and Peter Millar Apparel have announced an extension to their deal. So if you're looking for BMW Championship merchandise, apparel, and also if you're working as a volunteer at any of their events, you will be getting Peter Millar wear, which is pretty good stuff for whatever price you pay to be a volunteer at any of the Western Golf Association events. And also, news coming out that we can't really get into it at this time totally, but before long, perhaps as much as about 2 weeks from now, it looks like we can expect some new items from Tour Edge Golf.
I have heard that, and that's exciting. I tell you, I don't know if there's an equipment company anywhere that has done so many things in such a short period of time, new exciting things. And, of course, they brought in Bernhard Langer. They've got a great contingent of players on their staff from the PGA Tour champions. But a real success story for David Glott and his crew in Batavia. I can't wait to see what the next surprise that they're coming up with, because they've been doing just very well with the ones that they've made so far.
Well, last week, Len, we had Tommy Moore join us on Golfers on Golf Radio, the director of golf at Firestone, and it was amazing. Steve Stricker, what an amazing win for the Ryder Cup captain to go out there and on that golf course blow away the field the way he did. And I know, Len, we're excited because we're going to get a chance to see him next week at the John Deere Classic. And apparently Steve is passing up the U.S. Senior Open to come back for the 50th anniversary of John Deere, where he won three times.
Yeah, those wins in 2009, 2010, 2011, he was the man in that tournament. And he's still done so much for that tournament and is such a popular player there. I hope he always stays a regular on the John Deere front, because he's like a fixture. He's like part of the furniture over there. John Deere Classic without Steve Stricker just wouldn't be the same.
Well, Len, I know that after he won those three titles, he came out the following year in defense of trying to go for a four-peat, so to speak. And, you know, as people give scores on TV and on the radio, we hear that a guy is 2-under through 6 or 4-under through 9. Steve Stricker came out and eagled the first hole because he started on the par 5 10th, and rarely do we say somebody's 2-under through 1. So Steve Stricker knows how to play all the holes out on that golf course, and it wouldn't surprise me if he is right in the middle of the hunt next week. Speaking of next week, Len, we'll do the next edition of Zeman Spears next week.
It'll be fun.